Welcome to the Quickening Report. Patrick Wood here, your host for today. We're going to talk about money today and finances. And this is a little bit of a diversion from sustainable development for sure, but I think we've covered that in pretty good detail. The things that are going on in the world right now started right today. And today, by the way, is March 14, 2023. I normally don't date these, but this is the week of financial crisis in America and the world for that matter. And so it's important, I think, to set the date on this so people listen to it later. They won't get all excited and say, oh my gosh, there's another financial meltdown going on. But what's happened starting last week with the meltdown of one bank in Silicon Valley, that is Silicon Valley Bank, a very large bank, it led to the second largest collapse of a bank in America, in American history. It was huge. And it had a profound effect, I believe, throughout the world. A wake-up call, a shock to the whole system, et cetera. And as a result, a lot of people, if not everybody, is very concerned about what's going on. Is this, they're thinking, is this the beginning of the end? Is the financial system going to collapse? Is my bank going to collapse? And so on. All these questions are coming up, and they're good ones. I'm going to give you some help on this, by the way, today in this program. And in fact, let me just start out by saying, I wrote a blog article yesterday, called Bank Implosion, How Safe is Your Bank? Now, I don't know if you know this. This program is called The Quickening Report. You may not have known that I also have a Substack account called The Quickening Report. And it is a premium service for people to be able to support me a little bit and, chip in. It's not expensive, a few bucks a month. But I do that, and I put articles, I write stuff that just doesn't quite fit on technocracy.news, technocracy news and trends. And this one really doesn't, but it's important. There is a bank implosion going on, it appears, and people are concerned about how safe is their bank. So if you want to participate in that part of the Quickening Report, you're welcome to go there. It's patrickwood.substack.com. patrickwood.substack.com, and it'll take you there, and you can at least get on the mailing list. Sometimes I post something that is free for everybody, not just for premium subscribers. So you can get on the mailing list for no charge, but if you want to subscribe to get everything, the full content, I put up videos from time to time as well, and sometimes some audio, you can subscribe, and you'll get notice of all those other things that I do as well. But I do have to say you're getting a boatload of information on this program, on this TV program right now. So this is what I wrote, and I'll bring it up just a little bit larger for you so you can see it. I wrote the banking system is on the rocks again, and it's generating a lot of fear and trepidation among ordinary people who are asking, how safe is my bank? Both individuals and businesses should be asking that question. I can give you some immediate help. A very old acquaintance of mine, Martin Weiss, I'll tell you about that in just a second, founded Weiss Ratings to assess safety of banks, credit unions, and insurance companies. It has recently expanded its rating service to crypto and stocks as well. And then I give two links here on how to find out where, how to go and see what your bank is doing. I'll show you the screen on where these links go to in just a second. I wrote, if you find that your money is stored in a shaky financial institution, guess what? Some of you may, I don't know, and you decide to make a switch, then obviously you want to do some research as to where to go. You don't want to jump from the frying pan into the fire here. If you move your money from one bank, you think, oh my gosh, they're too small. I don't like it. Doesn't sound good. The president has a mustache or doesn't have a mustache. I want out of here. Be careful you don't jump from a good bank into a worse bank. And I tell you right now, a lot of people, I think, are doing that. We have a story on that as well today. So Weiss Ratings has always been noted for its independence in the industry, by the way. They're the only private rating service in the country, as far as I know. I don't think there's any other. But they've been around for 50 years. And you might judge, I've been in my career just about that amount of time as well. And so I know the folks at Weiss and used to work with them quite closely some years ago. Great people. The founder was of Weiss Ratings was actually the father of the current executive CEO there, Martin Weiss, and they do great work. They're very, very large company now. They do a lot of work. They have a lot of institutional support. People that buy their very, very expensive consulting services for rating, but they don't pull any punches. They can't be bought. They don't have companies paying them money to give a good rating to the company. So you know it's pretty pretty decent. So let me show you what some of what's happening as a result of this bank meltdown. And this is why people are switching banks. Here's the headline on Zero Hedge. Two big to fail banks are being flooded with deposits as bank run drains small banks of cash. This is a problem now. This is mostly, you know, well, individuals as well as small businesses as well are doing this. And so the thinking goes, the panic is on. A lot of people are panicked enough to say, I can't afford to lose. If my bank goes down, I cannot afford to lose my working capital for my business. I got to make payroll. I need money to pay the bills and stuff like that. So a lot of companies and a lot of people are saying, look, I'm pulling my money out of your bank. Sorry, nice knowing you, but goodbye. And then they're going over to some of the larger banks like Chase, J.P. Morgan Chase, for instance. So, and they're depositing their money there, figuring, well, they're too big to fail. So we know they're going to be around because the government will bail them out. And government won't bail out the small banks. That's the thinking. So this is the real problem right now in the banking system. Aside from the initial cause of this, the initial bank that went down, this is causing a ripple fear to roll out across the country in not unexpected ways, but in ways that you just wouldn't think initially. But this is what it is. So what about those small banks that are losing reserves, losing deposits? Well, it's going to hurt them bad. It's going to hurt them bad. So it's something you need to watch very closely. If you're in a small bank, community bank, a savings loan, whatever, you need to watch closely about what's going on and how much money is traveling out into other places. Don't just run and join them. Like I said, don't jump from the frying pan into the fire here. You need to be very careful if you switch your money at all. That should be true of any time, but especially now. So there is a mass exodus of cash with smaller banks right now going to the big banks like the Citigroup and the J.P. Morgan Chase and so on. And that will hurt the smaller banks, and maybe they'll come out just fine. For small investors, however, depositors, the FDIC, that's the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation, FDIC will insure or does insure your account up to $250,000. So that means if your bank goes under and you have, say, $100,000 in the bank, FDIC will make the claim. They'll pay you off what your deposit is. And the banks have to chip into the FDIC. It's like dues. They have to chip in to keep a reserve there for banks that do fail. And that happens anytime, by the way. A bank can and often does fail out of the blue, anywhere under the sun. But right now, it's especially a difficult time because we have this whole shockwave going on. So as we look at these banks, I'm going to show you what this Weiss ratings look like. And I want you to go there. I just say flat out, you need to go there. It's Weiss, ratings, plural, .com. It's very simple to remember. Weiss, ratings, ratings.com. And when you get there, you click on the banking tab in particular, and that's what I'm at right now. The homepage looks like this. I'll show you. That's the homepage. When you go to the banking tab and you click on banking, this is what comes up. And this is a summary sort of what they have available, but you'll see at the top rated banks. That's large banks, and then top rated all banks. And then top-rated large credit unions, and then top-rated all credit unions. And believe me when they say all, this is all. Now, if you click on the tab, the little smaller tab here at the top, bank ratings, for instance, will bring up all of the just banks, only banks. You see the top-rated banks, and then you see the strongest banks. And there's a little bit of difference between top rated and strongest, but that you can see that for yourself when you get there. I won't take time to explain it. But to the right of this each section, the title, you will see the little link up here. It says, see all, see all. Click that little link, and lo and behold, it will bring up all of the banks that are in the system that they rate. And in this case, check this out. It found 3,538, maybe I can make this bigger, 3,538 banks are in their rating system. Now, they're not going to give you the detailed report that they have made on these banks to come to this position where they've rated these. But for instance, you see the Bank of Cleveland, it's an A-plus bank. Well, what does that mean? If I click on this, Bank of Cleveland, it will bring up a little bit of information on the Bank of Cleveland. This is very simplistic information. This is not comprehensive. They're not going to give it to you for free. Believe me, they're a very expensive service. But they're good enough to share the basic information with you and really what most people care about. What's the letter rating of my bank? Am I an A plus, or am I a D or a D plus? Am I an F, which means I'm about to go out of business? You get the idea. But it does give some basic statistics here on, what about your bank? You know, how many assets they have and the rating, the safety of those assets and so on. So if you want to find a bank, your bank, there's a little search tab at the top and you can type in like, let's type in Arizona like this. And see if a bank comes up in Arizona. Well, son of a gun, there's three banks in Arizona that have Arizona in the name. There's Arizona Bank and Trust, there's Republic Bank of Arizona, and then there is Commerce Bank of Arizona. So this one's in Phoenix. I'll just click on this, and then it gives me the rate, all the information that's available for the Arizona Bank and Trust. My experience with Weiss is that they would say that anything that is a B plus or above is an excellent value. In other words, it's pretty safe. You'll find some banks don't have that high rating, and I can guarantee you that these ratings are going to go down on a lot of banks after this whole thing is settled. So the fact that a bank is rated A plus today doesn't mean they're going to be rated A plus next week or next month. They might not. But it does take time to mount up new ratings, of course, and they do new analysis and so on. So you can go there, and I encourage you to go to weissratings.com and do your own investigation. If you're just concerned, you say, I'm not going to move my bank, but I just want to know what my bank is, where they are on this whole thing. Well, look up your bank, and the same thing is true, by the way, of savings and loans. So I'll go back to the original little display here where you can say, you see it says top-rated banks, but if you go up to banking again, and you'll see credit union ratings over here on this link to the side. And it gives you the same thing for credit union. And that's a lot of people have credit unions, of course. And you have the same little link at the side, see all. And lo and behold, there's all of the credit unions in the country. How many do they have? Well, they're tracking 2,162. Chances are very, very good that your credit union is in this list somewhere. Search for it and it'll bring it up and you can check it out and see how good you are. And by the way, don't go beat your banker up over this. I wouldn't suggest that if you have a bad rating. If you have a good rating, you might give them an attaboy. If it's really bad, like if it's a C or a D or even worse, you may quietly just want to go find a bank that may be higher rated. Might be a little bit safer for you. If you're in business, the same principles apply. So having said that, we need to talk about some other things now. The bank in question that went out last week was SVB, the Silicon Valley Bank, and went into receivership immediately. The government took it over and they appointed a receiver to keep the bank open. And so, in other words, instead of just letting it fail, they're going to keep the bank open. They're going to put money into it. The government, that is going to put money into it, and they're going to try to keep it open and entice people to come back. So the new CEO, and I use that loosely because he's really a regulator, he's urging clients to help us rebuild our deposit base. I think this is going to go over like a lead brick, honestly. But nevertheless, they're asking, say, oh, guy, if you moved your money in the last week, please come back, please come back. And, you know, help us to rebuild the base. I don't know why anybody would do that. But yeah, there you go. So the doors are still open, but, you know, the odds are not very high that people are going to come rushing back to the bank to put their money back in. Now, why is all this important? I've kind of rambled on about this. My first thing is I want you personally to be able to have some confidence that your bank is good. You may want to use that link to Weiss Ratings, pass it around to other friends. Say, hey, are you concerned about your bank? Oh, yeah, I really want to know. Give them the link for Pete's sake. It's free. It doesn't cost a nickel, and anybody can go there with an internet connection. So that aside, let's talk about now about the Great Reset. What the heck is going on here? This needs to be related to the Great Reset. That is what the World Economic Forum has said they want to do to the world. They want to flip the world into this new resource-based economic system. The United Nations calls it sustainable development. I call it technocracy, which it really is. From the 1930s, goes back a long way. We've traced technocracy through the Trilateral Commission in the early 1970s. Then it was as it was delivered into the United Nations in 1992 as sustainable development. Then we've tracked the 2030 agenda. We've tracked the New Urban Agenda. Say more about that in a future episode. But we see this whole historical movement coming forward to bring us to the point where the world is about to flip out of and away from capitalism and free market economics into the arms of technocracy. That is a scientific dictatorship, simply put. It means that everything is going to be controlled from the macro, you know, resources, financial system overall, down to the micro. That means you personally, even to the point of getting under your skin. This is kind of a disturbing thought that Harari brings up. Yes, it's gonna go under your skin now. Well, yes, I guess so. You know, they're looking at injecting us with experimental drugs and stuff that have messenger RNA in it, and you wonder, well, that couldn't be bad for me, could it? Well, it couldn't change my DNA, could it? Do I want to change my DNA? Do I want to hack my body? Well, that's partly why I wrote the book, The Evil Twins of Technocracy and Transhumanism. Yeah, it's a big story. But right now, what we're looking at is the financial system. Some people have already suggested that there were a lot of Chinese investors in Silicon Valley Bank. And I believe that's correct. They're not only investors in the company itself, but they're also depositors where they have money in the bank. There's been some suggestion that the China connections into this are very deep, and that China may have used this whole collapse issue as like a financial weapon to execute warfare against the United States. And financial warfare can be a very effective weapon. And so people are saying, you know, analysts are looking at this saying, well, you know, China has a lot of connection to SVB, more than almost any other bank in the nation. And it could be that they've used this, they've engineered this collapse intentionally, even if it sacrificed a little bit of their money, that they intentionally did this in order to have put damage on our whole financial system. And if that was the case, of course, it certainly has worked. It is putting damage on our financial system. But there's also at the same time, the World Economic Forum and the United Nations have both called for the end of capitalism and free market economics. And that means our current monetary system is not sufficient to take us to the next level. It simply will not be sufficient to take us to this new system. What they need for the new system is this new area of finance called FinTech. It stands for Financial Technologies. That's talking about things like blockchain-based central bank digital currency. Not talking at all about the money that we know and understand now that supports capitalism and free market economics. This new fintech-oriented system is altogether different. It's otherworldly to what we have today. But let me tell you, if the Great Reset intends to flip us into this new technocracy-oriented, sustainable development-oriented world, then they also have to take the financial system with it. They have to destroy capitalism, but yes, they also have to destroy the finance system that supported capitalism for the last hundreds of years. If they're involved in this, if we've got the World Economic Forum, who clearly has a moral hazard to destroy our financial system, clearly, and if China is also working, they have a moral hazard to attack us. We say that they're our enemy, so ostensibly, they would attack us if they could. If that's the case, if both of these entities are attacking us, then the logical implication is, could they be in collusion with each other to accomplish a common purpose? Could they, in other words, could China be an ally of the World Economic Forum and the United Nations to achieve a common purpose between the two of them? Now, China is very, very influential in the United Nations. Some agencies are completely dominated by China. And China is very big, for instance, in the World Health Organization. So if China already has that association with the United Nations, and the World Economic Forum has a very close relationship with the United Nations, and you could say vice versa, whatever, all of a sudden you have a triangle. And the triangle now, the triangle consists of the United Nations and China and the World Economic Forum. What would be the implications here if these three are working in conjunction with each other to degrade the financial system in America? I think that's a very distinct possibility. This would fit the technocracy, the whole technocracy scene, I think, very well. China has already been declared to be a technocracy itself, and I strongly believe that it is. It's run by engineers and scientists, and even though they have the red flag up and the stars and the hammer and sickle and whatever they have up there on that thing, it doesn't matter. That's just show. That's theater. What's really going on is they've created an engineered society where the economy is entirely engineered, and likewise the people, like with social credit scoring system, et cetera, completely engineered. So I think we're going to develop this thought further, that there may be some collusion going on between the three, and if these are the axis of evil, so to speak, that is China, the World Economic Forum, and the United Nations, we need to know who our enemy is, and we need to know what they're up to. And I'm not going to make a definitive statement on it, but I think we really need to figure this out. Now, before we close, I'm going to show you a short video clip. I've shown this, I think, once before. I want you to hear what a leading monetary expert has to say at the World Government Summit in 2022 that took place in the Middle East. This is Dr. Pippa Malmgren. And she is an acknowledged expert on globalism, global finance, etc. And I want you just to listen to what she said and see how this fits in to what we're dealing with today, potentially.
Well, it may be a bit late for that. I remember talking to an Australian diplomat at one point about this break between the US and China, and said, both sides are going to say, whose team are you on? Mm-hmm. And he said, our job is to make sure the question never arises. But the question has arisen. And so I think we have to go deeper. And it's not about the US versus China. It's about what underpins a world order is always the financial system. Mm. I was very privileged. My father was an advisor to Nixon when they came off the gold standard in 71. And so I was brought up with a kind of inside view of how very important the financial structure is to absolutely everything else. And what we're seeing in the world today, I think, is we are on the brink of a dramatic change where we are about to, and I'll say this boldly, we're about to abandon the traditional system of money and accounting and introduce a new one. And the new one, the new accounting, is what we call blockchain. It means digital. It means having a almost perfect record of every single transaction that happens in the economy, which will give us far greater clarity over what's going on. It also raises huge dangers in terms of the balance of power between states and citizens. In my opinion, we're going to need a digital constitution of human rights if we're going to have digital money. But also, this new money will be sovereign in nature. Most people think that digital money is crypto and private, but what I see are superpowers introducing digital currency. The Chinese were the first. The US is on the brink, I think, of moving in the same direction. The Europeans have committed to that as well. And the question is, will that new system of digital money and digital accounting accommodate the competing needs of the citizens of all these locations so that every human being has a chance to have a better life? Because that's the only measure of whether a world order really serves.
Well, so there you go. This really lays it out, I think, that those who are worried about the destruction of the dollar are worried about the wrong thing. Is the dollar in trouble relative to other currencies? Yes, but the whole currency system is in view to be taken out, not just the dollar. And so that's noise, as Steve Bannon says, go for the signal, not the noise. Filter out the noise. That is noise. The whole system is intended to be taken down and replaced with a digital system. That's where we have the central bank digital currencies to come in, by the way. So back to the basics on this, just to review this. If you were not aware that I have a Substack account that's also called the Quickening Report, it is an adjunct to this program, to the TV program. And the whole idea, of course, behind Quickening is that people that are coming out of the fog, and believe me, this financial crisis is going to bring a lot of people out of the fog. People need answers. They want answers to what's going on. They've been asleep maybe for 10 years, who knows, 5 years, doesn't matter. If they've been asleep and in a fog, they wake up now. They're starting to wake up and say, what's going on, man? I feel like Rumpelstiltskin. I've been asleep for 20 years or something. What's going on? They want to know, and that's the idea of the Quickening Report. We need to give people answers. I would encourage you to share this video with people, anybody you know. I would just pass it around. Put it on social media, put links to it, get the link to it, and post it anywhere you can. Send it to friends in an email, whatever. But get it out there. People need to know. People need to have answers. And you can go and subscribe to the Quickening Report if you choose to. It really helps support this program, support me personally with my research, et cetera, and various activities. There's lots of things to do, as you might imagine. So any help that you can give on this is really appreciated on my part, for sure. And in the meantime, take a look at buying a copy of The Evil Twins of Technocracy and Transhumanism, because it will open your eyes to what's going on. Well, for the Quickening Report, I am Patrick Wood, and that's it for today. We'll be back next time with something else, maybe probably related to the economy and the financial system. In the meantime, take care, stay safe, and God bless.